everybody.
Hi.
Stella is napping.
We miss Stella.
I know.
You should sign her in remotely.
She's the...
I know, and I just bought her a new outfit for bargaining, too.
No fear.
She has a cute little jumper. She's ready to go, and then she's gone.
Listen, I'm jealous. That's
I was going to say,
I wanted
too.
To respond to bargaining.
Okay, I guess we can get started then. It is July 16th, 2019. This is collective bargaining with the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. I have for your review minutes from the June 11th, 2019 bargaining session. The minutes for June 11, 2019 are acceptable to everyone, Charlie. Thank you very much.
And Briannis, yes.
And Briannis, thank you very much. So, it looks to be from those minutes that Article 24 was exchanged the last time, and we have copies of what was provided then. Would that be helpful if we pass them back
yes.
out? Okay.
In advance for the way the copies came out. I do not know why they came out that way, but each other page is cattywampus, so you're just probably going to have to rip them apart and or lift them up as you go. Just lift them.
Very interesting.
I know. I'm not sure why that happened. I'm assuming it's my fault. I flipped on the short edge or something, but...
Those descriptions never mean anything to
us. I don't know, me either.
I don't know.
And I think you and I had talked, I've given you one that we had talked about.
Yes. Does this reflect?
It's, I think, those? Except for the orientation, exactly what we talked about.
T2RP.
I think the orientation was confusing. My connection to my brain.
Do you want me to print some more? I can.
No. I just double check my own recollection of something. I don't know what I did because I was looking at this little one. I made a note of a line number in my alphabet. It's a very different line number. And I can't find it. Can we talk about this? Can you find that?
Yes.
250. Mm-hmm. 55 to 250. All right. So we did already discuss a little bit of this. So I have a couple of questions or suggestions to see if that will get us to where we need to be for this article. So I appreciate having the time to look at that. I'll start with what I think is an easy thing, but I guess may not be. For 24.7, the continued inclusion of the courses offered by Valencia at UCF Downtown, given my latest information about the way that the Valencia faculty instructors are now listed as UCF instructors for some of the courses because of the way that we're offering downtown majors, I'm still enormously uncomfortable with putting this into the contract right now because it is not clear to me that any of us have a really clear way to explain that this does not mean you can't get a downtown major, but it might be if it's interpreted slightly problematically, and since we haven't even begun that program, we're anticipating something that lacks so much clarity and any experiential knowledge that I'm just still concerned about putting that in there. Offered by Valencia at UCF Downtown is actually, I know that it seems really clear from this perspective here, but from the perspective of the way that we're offering the programs, it is not.
So will Valencia classes be in this, our ability to get the shopping cart from UCF?
I don't understand what the shopping cart will look like. Maybe Ross can speak to this. I assume that's part, maybe why you're here.
I can help answer the question as I understand how things are being done. So when a student selects a downtown course that's being taught by Valencia, it will actually be in the UCF system. And they'll add it to their shopping cart. But I also, as I understand it, is UCF will be paying Valencia for those courses. It'll be a money exchange based on the credit.
It's actual money exchange.
Yeah.
So is the board's position here that employees will not be eligible to get downtown majors, or are they just concerned that people are going to think they can go to Valencia?
So let me also clarify on that. This would only be for 1,000 and 2,000 level courses that Valencia is teaching. So the downtown majors would not be, the way I read it, part of this. So downtown. Mm-hmm. So for example, legal studies, those are not courses taught by Valencia. Those are taught by UCF.
Yes. So for example, communication and conflict, the 1,000 and 2,000 courses that my students will take there will be taught by Valencia.
So
you're saying that no employee can be a communication and conflict major under the tuition benefit?
Until their junior or senior years,
Okay, so this actually is saying, that is a very different thing than what I understood you were proposing, and I absolutely feel like that's preemptive and kind of an unacceptable agreement to say, first of all, we are already hemorrhaging majors, and so to limit us by accessing additional employee majors who might take these courses, that seems, there are going to be limitations anyway, because people who are working on this campus will not be able to travel to go to those classes. I don't think it's going to be a very big push for people to do that, but they are open access majors. They are practical majors in communication that are popular amongst employees, and that seems like it is taking away a major that is currently accessible to the bargaining unit.
There are also going to be equivalent courses being taught on the main campus, as the ones by Bunch, and web courses that are taught by UCF.
Yeah, my major is accessible completely online. Hi, Stella did not like this discussion. She's like, this is boring. I gotta go. And this is part of the challenge with putting anything about downtown in the contract right now, because initially in our plan and in the plan that faculty approved about our curriculum, there were to be no human communication or communication and conflict courses on this campus. Now I understand that there will be, and we are having significant issues with the way that people are being assigned to the campuses, and I understand that that is outside of this conversation, but I'm giving that as a context to how much things have changed over the years while we've been determining what's happening there. I have a PhD student who's been assigned to teach her full-time coursework here while she takes her coursework downtown. That is fundamentally outside of what we agreed on as the plan for this. And so putting this in here is making assumptions about what that looks like that I don't think reflect reality and also takes away a benefit. And I don't think that's necessarily was the intention of anybody. I think everybody's like, no, you don't get to go to Valencia, fine. But my major is being offered through that. Not by my choice, by the university's insistence, right? I have faculty who are not doing the job that they were hired to do because of this shift. And I'm uncomfortable with making this limitation a part of our tuition waiver. So I guess I started out with something I thought was easier, and it turned out to be a little bit more complicated because I'm learning about my own program at bargaining.
Well, we can talk about it.
Okay.
At a caucus.
What would be the next issue?
The next issue. So your request to pause for 2 years on the phased retirement for the working out of the transition to retirement program. So I thought about this a little bit because the reason why we're proposing a temporary pause is because this is a pretty significant change that we're putting into the contract without a lot of time to communicate with bargaining members about it. So if you want the pause to go to 2021, we could agree to that, but we need to extend the time period for people to enroll this fall into October or November, just so that we can communicate the shift for anybody who was waiting until the 9-month contract begins to do that. I don't expect there will be a run on the phased retirement program, but it just doesn't feel fair of us to agree to such a big change without having the opportunity to communicate more with the membership. So that would be either leave it as the 1-year pause to revisit the following year, or we're offering the pause to happen at the end of October through 2021. And then the last issue, I guess on line 250 now, where I know we've had conversations about this, and I think I'm open to several other options here. I'm still uncomfortable with the word request, having people request their benefits instead of enroll in, access,
utilize.
There are other words. We understand that they are making a request about the timing of the transition to retirement program, but we do not believe anybody should be requesting access to their benefit. Right, that's not what a benefit is. It's part of your compensation package. So we said enroll, access, utilize. Maybe there's a fourth option, but just what that would look like in the initial who's eligible. And I think that's it.
Can we back up to phased, the language there on 90? I'm just trying to find language that would fit to satisfy, because no employee should be permitted to enroll in this program. Do you want, if you said after ratification of this document, because that's not going to happen for a little while, and then so.
Could we?
I don't think it'll be as late as October or November, though.
Jen, could I offer a suggestion on that? Could we specify, for instance, like 90 days after ratification? Could we, instead of actually assigning a month, could we set, for instance, like, you know, an agreed upon days after ratification of this contract? I think that may solve timeline issues.
Well, it depends on how close we are, doesn't it?
Well, instead of if we're still bargaining this contract in September, then it's just kicking the date around the road. But if we came up with a suggestion of X amount of days after ratification.
The programs are similar in that sense. So what benefit do you think that someone would achieved by, I mean, is there somebody in particular who's just dying to get into phase?
No, that's my point, is that I don't know, and I have not communicated to my membership that this shift is taking place. So if somebody is thinking about, oh, I've been looking at phased retirement and I just wasn't going to go deal with HR or whatever the process is until I'm back on contract, that then as we approach ratifying the whole contract and we educate about the major changes, that this could create panic or a run on your office.
So what you're saying is no employees shall be permitted to enroll in this program, and I say, after, wait, like, something like 60 days after ratification of the document?
Until a specified time period.
Yeah.
Instead of saying like September to September 19 or October 19 or something.
Okay, so if I delete this.
That's a good point. I was engaging in reckless optimism that this would be done and ratified. And we would be in our next phase.
Sure.
Continued bargaining, but not
right.
In this contract.
So, no employee shall be permitted to enroll in this program 60 days after the date of ratification of this document. And I'm deleting from September 19 to 2021. And then, if you change your mind and hate T2RP and want to go back to phase, you're able to do that anytime from ratification to July 31st, 2021. Do you see what, that's the trade-off. Then T2RP dies if you do that.
Well, it doesn't die. Mm-hmm. It just reopens the
conversation.
It'll instantly close
T2RP. It puts
T2RP.
A deadline on us having a conversation about whether it's working.
It says in the language, just to quote what it says T2RP will be closed for future enrollment. So if you open the
phase
door...
If retirement reopens.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
So
okay.
You have until July 31st, 2021. There's plenty of time to see
That's why we extended
working.
That period, because we don't want you to have to make up a quick decision. We
sure.
want people to be in it for some time.
Yeah.
And
I think you'll find that this will be a very popular program.
I hope so.
Based on my, you know, my sense of how people like to do things. And we have two people in phase now out of almost 1,700 immune employees. It just doesn't seem like it's a good deal, so to speak, for anyone.
Okay. So is that is that the sum of the issues for Article 24?
Yes. Did I miss anything? My team.
Bless you.
Okay. So we have an Article 9.
So you can put it on
vibrate
or no sound.
Oh, good. Annotations. I've come to really look forward to those.
Appreciate them?
Yes. Explanatory.
Actually, I appreciate the ability to kind of explain. And it helps draw the eye to the places where there's still conversations happening. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
Well, it kind of is, but it wasn't deliberate. That's it.
Yeah. It's okay.
Let's go by the line numbers.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find the line numbers. Okay, here we go. Got it.
Here's 1, 2.
Yeah. I don't know. Mine's not backwards. I was just still working on this one.
Well, I don't. The notations are self-explanatory, and I don't need to go through them. But why don't we go through each section where there is a notation, and we'll ask if you have any questions, or you may want to read this over in a caucus and then come back with questions. However you would prefer to proceed.
Why don't we do that?
We'll
review
and we'll look
in the caucus.
Good.
And then make a list of our questions.
And then we'll look at, we'll ponder what you had to say about 24.
Great. Ponder. That sounds so significant. And you all are in general counsel, and you're up here.
I think so. Vanessa, do we have a caucus room right now? Oh, okay,
so people are working.
Do you have an electronic version of 24 and 9 mm-hmm. that we could send to John?
Yes.
Good morning to you, John. I wish you a good morning.
That's one thing.
I'm fine.
And I say thank you.
Are we back on?
We're back on.
Okay. Thank you for the time to discuss. Is it? I don't feel so bad today. Couple of questions, responses. First one on 9.3, annual assignment. The addition of D. There was some discussion about why that would be in this one and not in 8. Or if it's just a redundancy of 8. Or what the thinking was.
Exactly. 8's done.
And it's not there.
This is not there. And there were some employees who didn't understand that August 10th is actually a work day. Mm-hmm. And we thought this might be helpful.
What do you mean they don't understand August 10th? I was going to ask if August 10th is a holiday of some kind.
Let's make it one.
But I think I know the answer to that. So this is to add clarity about
the 9-month and 12-month contracts.
Contracts.
Thank goodness we don't have the 10-month anymore. We used to. That's gone.
Oh, my.
That was a good deal. I told them they can put me in an 11-month contract anytime they want. They can pick the month that I'm gone.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Yes. Trying to see if I had any that were really super. I think we're on the same page of a lot. I mean, there's a lot of status quo language.
That was the goal.
In regards to the mediation stuff, it's still such an inefficient process, but we rarely end up in that space, which is good. For 9.5, I think we have some questions. For 9.6, the inclusion of the supervisor considerations seems unnecessary to us, the extent possible. We know that those are things that programs take into account. It does seem to create unintended problems about proving student demand or the way in which we have access to our classrooms and classroom utilization. I mean, we already have so little control over that anyway, so I'm uncomfortable with that. I understand they say explains to employee the obstacles or preferences. I think the obstacles look different for different programs and locations.
So if it struck, however, through their to the extent possible, recognizing programmatic needs, so take out the supervisor must also, mm-hmm. and just say recognizing programmatic need. That takes the supervisor word out of there if that's the concern. I hear you, I think, what you're saying there.
Yeah, let me think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. For work week, on lines...
It's 9.7, that's why it's... Because equipment
is stuck. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So on lines 134 and 135... we really need to insist that number of hours remains as part of that. This is one of the essential components of the work week, is ensuring that there's no expectation that we assume many more hours than a normal work week. That's the entire point of labor protections, because that can frequently happen if you have to travel a lot for your position, if you have extended projects in your lab or kinds of things where people are insisting that you catch up on what they might consider other work, and that needs to shift expectation outside of extending the 40 hours. So number is really, we understand that like a reductions and adjustments, that's redundant, but the timing and number of hours needs to be recognized.
I think the reason it says timing, just to talk through it, is that it's in recognition of all those things. It's not the number of hours, it's a recognition of when they are, more than number of hours. So you want
and I'm saying the number of hours is essential to the consideration.
So you would say timing and number of
scheduled hours.
Timing.
Yeah. If I say I'm not a morning person and you say, great, you can work your 12 hours any time of day you want, that's not a reasonable expectation.
Okay.
And where else? Circling. We had some language in our proposal that I'd like to revisit a little bit. One in particular concern with regard to place of employment is that we've had some issues with people who are located on, I guess what we're calling Connect Centers. Is that the right?
Yeah, the old regional campus. Like
the old regional campuses.
Yeah, okay. They're called Connect Centers now, I think. Like Valencia West, you know.
Label changes.
Yeah.
So sometimes what occurs is that a Connect Center may be closed due to their schedule, but UCF employees who are located there are told that they have to go in. And I am concerned with any of our employees being told to go sit in a dark room and slums all day.
Yes.
It has.
Oh, wow.
And so while I understand that it seems like something that shouldn't have to be said, apparently it does need to be said that if your place of employment is closed, you shouldn't have to do there, and some kind of alternative arrangement for your duties needs to be made. I mean, a majority of so many of our positions work can be done in a variety of locations we would really like to revisit getting that into the place of employment. I think we're only going to continue to see some challenges with that segment of our contract as we expand the number of places of employment that are possible. So I'm sure we'll learn all kinds of new problems we never even thought could exist in the next few years. And then the other one that I would like to revisit,
do you have some language you'd like to see in there?
It's in our previous...
In your previous proposal?
Yeah,
December proposal.
In our December proposal, it was 9.5C.
Great. Thank you. It's like a human encyclopedia over there. And the other piece of language that I really think is valuable was the idea of having tentative assignments for the following academic year.
Where are you?
And so that, it was also...
It was in our previous proposal. It was in...
9.3.
It was at the beginning of 9.3. We inserted language about having a tentative assignment at May 1st.
A tentative assignment or responsibility shall be provided no later than May 1st. Mm-hmm. The assignment of effort expected in teaching, research, creative activity, service, administration, and your specific duties assigned for that year. New employees shall be informed of assigned duties within the initial employment agreement. I don't know if that's possible because you may get your new employment agreement months and months before the semester starts.
I think it's also if you get hired after that one, then you decide.
You get hired after what?
May 1st.
Oh yeah.
Or it's like I think the purpose of the language was to inform your tentative assignment when you're hired.
But it's 9.3A, the status quo language, doesn't that cover it?
It just says, it doesn't have the May 1st deadline. Like, it just says, shall be at the beginning of their employment and each year after, but it doesn't have a time frame for getting a tentative.
Oh, so you want to get rid of the 6 weeks in advance and make it May 1st. That's a significant change.
So we're trying to understand why we wouldn't know the tentative plan for the following year.
And also they're on contract as well. So that they're at the tail end of their contract. So if there is an issue, and if they're not teaching in the summer, okay, well, I have to wait till August, or I have to spend my own time, my uncompensated time, figuring it out.
No, August, July.
Well,
sometimes June, depending on when you start. I mean, where August 8th is.
Right. I mean, like, I have mine, but it's because I split my time with faculty excellence. No one else in my department has seen their stuff for next year. That's late.
And especially when classes are scheduled.
I think Monday was the 6 weeks before. Monday of this week was the 6 weeks before. So that's a.
Well, there's a difference between tentative and then final.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying the tentative agreement, the 6 weeks is the final assignment, but you know, if you're given a tentative one before you go away for summer, that's, you know, tentative means it can still change.
Yeah.
However, you have some idea of what your assignment is before it's finalized.
I'm just so much more comfortable with our current language.
We can talk about.
And we pulled this language from the University of Florida's contract.
Don't tell me that ever. That's not a good thing. That's not a positive thing.
Well, I mean, it is from our perspective.
For you, maybe.
Yeah, it is. We have different views of the University of Florida's.
They've been through many evolutions, shall we say.
Right. Well, it's precedent in the state for this to occur.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things that... There are other things that we could pull from contracts that you wouldn't like. So, I mean, you know, it depends. Every contract is different.
Our goal here was to move towards status quo significantly. So we dropped a whole bunch of our things, and that's why we're here with this particular.
All right. Great. Okay, and hopefully I've been able to highlight what I think is most important.
Well, you want to decide about teaching schedule in 9.6A. should be honored to the extent possible with scratching. However, the supervisor must also, and then changing it to recognizing programmatic need.
And we're going to
because we could agree to that, I think.
And 9.8, I think we can agree to that.
I fixed that already.
Okay. And let's see, 9.5, we'll have to look at your proposal, but I don't.
I have it.
Okay. I mean, we don't want people working. Having to
closed facilities.
Sit in closed facilities. That is
silly.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay.
Silly.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, something
that would happen. You know.
Happens to 12-month employees.
Yeah, I think that's where some of the flexibility that we enjoy as 9-month employees about our scheduled and unscheduled activities that doesn't get applied across all of our employees does create these circumstances where. The most positive thing that we could imagine is giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. They're trying to follow some kind of letter of the law, but they're making really poor management decisions in their implementation of that, and it's rarely equitably implemented, and so that becomes a problem, I think, for the university and not just for us. And I think taking out for 9.6, I think that's acceptable, Charlie, removing
the
supervisor.
Okay, thank you. I made that adjustment then.
All right, so it looks like the one place where we have a significant disagreement is on the
tentative agreement.
The change of the status quo.
The tentative agreement. So,
and I think if we are able to work something appropriate in about the place of employment, that could be an issue for another day if we're really...
Well,
close to agreeing on the rest of the stuff.
So we already stick by that. So.
Let's talk.
Yep.
All right. We're going to go
and
talk.
But
before we do that, here's a 24 of the 4 copies. I don't know. I'm not for everybody. But if you could share that, I'll
this
share
is
this.
The new.
This is a new one.
Okay.
Sorry. Sharing.
I don't.
You don't need one. Here's another one. Okay. So we've made 3 changes in response to what you articulated with regard to 24. The first one would be on page 2, line 91. We put in the 60 day after ratification of the document.
Okay.
Um, On page 4 of 6 on line 202, we took by Flinch at UCF downtown, but courses that are offered by state colleges at state college rates are not waived.
Can I ask a question about that real quick? I'm so sorry that I'm so stuck on this, but when we say courses offered through state colleges, including, so this means including UCF courses offered at state college rates?
Well, there.
Because it, otherwise,
I don't think we offer. I don't think we offer at state college rates. Valencia will offer at state college rates, and there may be UCF students in those classes paying state college rates.
I don't know the terminology. I don't know which way.
Is it kind of like the airline pricing model where the person sitting next to you may have a...
I think I have the example. So I had a student who actually kind of got very irate because it's like, why is my child going to be taught in downtown with Valencia College professors? I'm paying for UCF.
Yeah.
So our question is, they're not. They're going to be paying Valencia College
even
rates.
Even though it's a UCF student.
Oh, okay.
They'll be paying Valencia rates.
When they're in a Valencia class.
Okay.
But it will be listed as a UCF class.
And that's,
I quit. My regular job.
Real money for us because we're paying Valencia that money.
Yeah.
We can't waive it. We can't waive it.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Hopefully, it's clearer. I know what you were.
I know that to be true. I think we're doing a really bad job of communicating a lot of these things to our faculty and our students, and it is strategically disadvantaging our programs that are downtown. And I am struggling right now with that. I don't know that this says, okay, I mean, should it say including UCF courses offered at state college rates? Because otherwise, what is it saying?
Oh, so you want me to add in between including and courses, add UCF courses? UCF.
I mean, what it means is that UCF employees cannot major in communication and conflict. Or human communication. Well, they could likely.
Or their dependents.
So,
which is difficult anyway.
Why can't they?
Because the general education courses for communication and conflict are being taught by Valencia instructors at Valencia rates. Because if you want to get a state college degree or AA, you should go and do that and pay that rate. We can't say you're going to get that level of instruction, which may or may not be better, right? Like, that's the problem about some of the way that we're talking about it. The way that my degree is set up is that people will not be able to use their benefit to get it. But I think it might be the only one.
They can use it in, but those courses are still being taught online or on this campus, and they can take them there and use the waiver, right? Am I?
Yeah.
They cannot be a communication and conflict. It might be the only degree that has this problem. If there was a chief negotiator who wasn't in charge of that program, we would probably not be stuck on this.
So if, I'm really trying to understand. Yeah. So if those 1,000 level courses in your program
are only being offered by Valencia.
But they're not, because you've got, I don't think, aren't they being offered online or by UCF people or here? At UCF rates, which they can use the waivers for.
No,
right?
none of my communication and conflict faculty are teaching at the main campus because we are a downtown degree who has been moved downtown, and I have one full-time faculty member. And so, no. And if you are a... So they could start out. I mean, they could switch, right? If they want to do it, they can start out as something else and then ultimately switch. It's just going to be a really different...
Well, okay.
Shouldn't say these things on the record.
No,
program dies because of this.
It's not
my
program.
That's okay. But I think that's, you know, when we're looking at one program and how that one program might be impacted, that's probably something for everybody to work through off contract and not try to resolve that through the contract language, because we can't waive a state college class. So if Valencia is offering a college at their rates, a course at their rates, whether we have some access to that or not, we still can't waive it.
Yeah, so I hear you on that. And so let me just state for the record that I hope the university understands the extra work that they need to be engaged in to engage in consistent and coordinated communication about what these things mean as we are moving. Well, my office has been picked up today, right? I don't work here anymore at UCF as a at main campus as a faculty member. I work here as something else. So the lack of coordinated and consistent communication about what all that means will start to pop up in places like this. And so, just for the record, the university needs to take on that labor. But you're right, we can't fix it in the contract. So
now one more change, page 5 of 6, line 250, we change request participation to participate.
Okay.
So with that, that's right. Some movement on 24 that I think we will allow us maybe to get an agreement on that. So
yeah. And then we'll talk about these issues on 9 real quickly.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Sometimes I'll be doing a bunch of stuff, and it'll say, you need to keep moving. And I'll think, I've
get on my
been
level.
Nothing but moving.
Jet stream is a uniball button.
Listen, I understand. Let me find a good pen.
I know.
I think that's why we end up in academia, so all the office supplies.
Well, the freedom with which you have access to office supplies up here is really different. You got to ask somebody to take you to a closet, and you got to tell them exactly how many of what you need.
Is that
and then,
what you have to do?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I have to say, I grade in green. May I please have a new green pen? This one can't write anymore. See? There you go. Okay. And then
well, the resources are severely limited. I remember that in June, end of June, statistics used to go to the spot, whatever, and just clean out the office store before the new budget. We'd have 25 boxes of paper because it was like a Russian economy. You buy the toilet paper if it's on sale. You just don't question it.
Oh, my.
So for
are we back on the record?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So for Article 9, we've made a couple of changes based on our conversation. We on page...
Sorry, it's not labeled with pages.
Yeah, on page 3, line 113, 114, we have recognized that if a connect facility is closed, the supervisor will assign the employee an alternative workplace. We took the language out of 118 that Charlie spoke to about the reference to the supervisor.
There's one more just below that. In line 136.7.
Oh, the timing and number of stages.
Timing and
hours.
Number.
Yeah.
We fixed. On line 136. So that's what we can do to address some of the concerns that were raised about the previous iteration of Article 9.
So with your language proposed on 113, for instance, if a person has the primary assignment in, like, say, the Seminole up in Sanford, and the supervisor requires them to come to main campus, for example, they will get mileage for that?
Isn't that already
they
in our
should,
policy?
According to
yeah,
policy.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Policy.
It's already
yeah.
Okay, I'm just clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for that.
No, that's
okay.
Already
good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're not.
Okay. Yeah, because the alternative assignment's a secondary assignment.
Okay, so wherever they're required to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It'd be helpful if you hear of somebody that actually happens to let us know, because then we can, you know, double back with
find out why that's why there's a failure.
What's going on here? Yeah.
Okay.
Because sometimes he may not know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The facility itself may decide and not let us know.
Mm-hmm. For instance, in spring break, most of the state college campuses, because they're not residential facilities, they are completely closed.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike here, and of course they don't match up, and you know here we're still open. Mm-hmm. So that's the main problem. So you have a person for a week.
Well, the Friday, July 5th, FSU closed. Florida A&M did not close. And they have some shared facilities. So that happens.
Yeah, I think it happens all over. We have a lot of shared facilities across the state. And really no calendar alignment whatsoever. All right. Looks good.
So that's 24-9. 24-9. And I actually have clean copies of both of them that are signature ready should we decide that we want
to get the special pen out of the box again.
The pen out of the box. But
I don't think there, what's left? I don't know if there is anything.
Yes, 30 and 32
and
appendices.
Remainders.
Remainders, but I should have. If we'd known, we could have shared a bottle of champagne.
Well, there'll be time for that.
Yeah.
That's true. No, I'm ready for our parade.
Yes.
Downtown parade?
Yes.
I guess ruined it for Jen.
I'm having a rough week, Charlie.
You are having. I'm sorry.
I was at 7 airports in 13 days.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what were you doing?
I got to see the country.
I don't mind seeing the country. I don't need to see the country's airports.
Yeah. No.
I mean, there's no law at the airport, you know? 7 a.m., people are drunk. People are asleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Things are closed. You know, okay. Chips cost $9. It's a lawless land.
Okay.
But
so what were you doing?
I had a quick family thing I had to do up in Northern California and Oregon, and then we had NEA in Houston.
Oh.
And then I had a iChange meeting, which is about diversity and inclusion in STEM. Mm-hmm. So I'm now real deep in with engineers all over the country. I was like, oh, are deans of engineering the same everywhere? It appears. There's just really certain perspectives about things that are shared across the country. Learning about that.
She was really impressed.
Oh, so impressed. I'm sure they were also very impressed with me. Always going, I'm not really a scientist. However, here's why I'm here.
But I can communicate.
I'm here to help, is what I kept saying. I'm here to help. We need to have a conversation about words.
He's getting out his fancy pen. It's the moment.
Moment.
Well, I'm going to sign it.
Yeah. But my office is packed. My bins are somewhere.
You're not going to see your green pen for some time.
Listen, everything that ever really mattered to me went in a special box. And then I have a box of things that I need to do my faculty excellence job, because I don't know where those will be. So. And
are you enjoying yourself?
Faculty excellence? Yeah, I think it's a big job, you know. There's a lot we have to do.
A lot of
it feels
parts.
A little overwhelming. It's my fault. I proposed a lot for my 18-month stint.
That's why you got it.
I was really ambitious with what I could accomplish in 18 months. But I think it's exciting. There's some movement. And we submitted our HSI Title V grant, which is exciting.
I don't know what that is.
It's our first opportunity to actually get money now that we have an HSA. Hispanic Serving Institution status. I think it's, we'll see what happens, but at the least we'll get some good feedback and it'll make us more competitive next year. We just, like everything at UCF, we just need people working on that. It's a big job for one person. I mean, it's not my job to write that grant, but I care about it, and I care about Cindy. So.
About what?
We did it. Cindy, your niece, who's our HSI director. But it's a big job. We'll see what happens.
Mm. Well, I hope you get it, or at least get
a fancy pen.
I asked for a pen for my daughter for as a present, and she got this for me. It's a British pen company, and they make they're actually made in Portugal, but Ajoto is a London-based pen company, and it comes in a little box.
See, I would never ask anybody for a pen because it would be...
I would lose it.
She likes one from the Sheridan.
But see, the favorite way
to do
Sheridan, it's
got
a really nice weight to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice and light? Okay.
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
In my former life...
And it's because
I got to travel Switzerland.
Mont Blanc?
Yeah, and we went to Mont Blanc, and my boss at the time bought some... And I just remember thinking,
yeah,
if you lose that, that's devastating. Right?
And I would.
And I know that I would. I know that pen would, somebody would find it on a bus somewhere in Europe. And that pen would be living its best life.
Well, yeah, the problem when you have a nice pen, it isn't, I don't mean this pen, but like if you have a pen like that, like a Mont Blanc pen. You realize, because a couple times you said, okay, I'm going to get a nice pen. I'm going to use a nice pen. You realize how many times people ask you to borrow your pen.
Oh, yeah.
And you get you go like, ooh, really?
This is,
yeah. And then sometimes people will, even a nice pen, take it and keep it. They put it down or they put it in their pocket. Like, you're like, can I have my pen back? I don't want to sound like a cheapskate, but do you mind if I have that pen?
I just say things like, I'm just really emotionally attached to that pen.
Well, if your daughter gave
I've
it
signed
to you,
some really important things.
Oh, that's a gift from my daughter.
Yeah, it was a gift. Or
there's a reason why banks keep their pens on chain.
Yeah.
But you should have a signature pen and then a loaner pen.
Yeah.
Sure, like, this is the pen I'm willing to. This is the pen I'm willing to give you.
Because they want you to advertise.
I'm big on. I steal pens from everywhere.
Well, then I keep those to actually share.
I've actually gone back to restaurants to give the people their pens. Because I know it's
always. Well, for servers, it's hard because they have to keep collecting those pens.
Yeah, that's what I see them from like Planet Fitness and everything.
Planet Fitness pens are everywhere. They have saturated.
Yes. So Pat is going to continue. We're Pat Angley, the one who does all our membership forms. So she's going to continue receiving them and walking them over. To I think that's what she's okay with. We wondered too, could she email them to you?
Yes.
Yes, she could also be able to email them to you.
Scan
and email. Yes. With the signature and all the information.
Well, I guess the thing is because of the public organization, it's not like I have to worry about the signature anymore. But I need to be able to read the person, the data, so I can just sort it into an Excel spreadsheet so that it goes to.
So if you can scan your email or log it over.
Now that some of the budget and stuff has been completed at the state level or the university of that about our contingent phrase.
We'll make it work.
I honestly don't know yet. I'll have to be honest. I'm not hearing wonderful positive sounds because, unfortunately, I don't know how they did this, and I shouldn't be saying this on tape.
Maybe we should turn it off.
Yeah, let's turn off the tape for a while.
Oh, wait, are we
this.
Done with 24?
We're
signing
it
now.
Do we have any other business that we are going to?
There's some updates that have to you have definitions, and you have, I think we'll just give you a copy of them so you can look over.
So what's left is definitions
and the appendices.
And the appendices and then, the duration and
amendment and duration.
Yeah, we can exchange those by email and then have a meeting and sign at some point.
On August 1st or even before that?
When's our next one scheduled?
August 1st. It's like in 2 weeks.
It seems like, we can. Okay. That's actually a reasonable amount of time for everyone to make decisions. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
Should I pass these out?
Go ahead.
We've got...
you've seen this before. We pass it out every third session or so.
You can turn it.
Those are definitions.
Thank you.